just to a different scripture, and I want to read this passage of scripture, and we'll go from there. I would rather just be obedient to the Lord. Amen. Miss Sue Ellen, she said, "I'm shaking, I'm nervous," and I said, "I know how you feel. I do that every Sunday, and I mean that." Amen. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with this service, but I want to read to you Galatians 2:20. Now, I'll probably be done reading before you get there. The Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Maybe I'll read that again. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Kevin sung just a moment ago, and he alluded to being taken to church when we were growing up. We grew up in a pastor's home. When I was 8 years old, my parents divorced. I don't know why. That's between them and the Lord. But I used that as an excuse for many years to be a victim of circumstances beyond my control. And so therefore, I use that to act out. And I acted foolish for many years. You might be thinking, "Well, you're an eight-year-old boy. How in the world could you act foolish?" Some of y'all ain't been around eight-year-olds in a while. But there had to come a day where I realized what this scripture says, that I am crucified with Christ. All of my past died there that day. And while it would be great to never have to bring up my past again or never have to talk about the things that happened in my life, as long as there are sinners in the world, there is a need for Christians to testify what they've been through and what God brought them from. As a young man, I didn't live right. As a young husband, I was not good to my wife. But God gave me grace. Amen. As a young pastor, I was mean to sweet people. Did you hear what I said? Out of my own pride and arrogance, I thought that the meaner the things I said from the pulpit, the more spiritual I was. That happens a lot in pulpits. But now, I am crucified with Christ. And that old man that I was, whether he was young and inexperienced and lacking of wisdom, and I'm not saying that I have experience and great wisdom now, I certainly do not. That man is crucified with Christ. Yeah. And he's not only crucified today, he's crucified tomorrow, and the day before. As I was studying this morning, I ran across a line, and it stuck with me. I want to share it with you. We operate in space and time. God operates outside of space and time. So everything about me, I say I was, I am, and I will be. But all throughout the Word of God, the Lord says, I am, I am, I am. And the great I am still is, and He always will be. Amen? So now I have the privilege of saying, I am crucified with Christ. Not only is it a past tense and a present tense, but a future thing too. Everything about me, all of my sin, all of what I am has been crucified there on that day at Calvary with the Lord. It died with Him. And then He rose. And because He rose, I am alive now. And the life that I now live, this may be the shortest message I've preached in a long time. But the life that I now live, the one that I am currently living, the flesh that you see before you, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Plus nothing, minus nothing. It is not about me. It's about Him. And the life that I'm enabled to live is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through faith in Him and in Him alone. I don't reckon myself to do good works. I look at myself, and you may have a low estimation of yourself too, but I look at myself and I see the man that should be on the cross. I see the disgusting sinner. Yesterday morning I was running and I was praying while I was running, and I thank the Lord for that alone time and that prayer time and the good time of fellowship that I had just with the Lord out there running on the road, and glory to God for it. But I just got to thinking about my heart, and the Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I got to thinking about my heart is an adulterous heart. Now, before you go throwing, we'll say it this way, before you go throwing shade on me for having an adulterous heart, understand that your heart is wicked too. And also understand that your heart is adulterous too. What I mean by that means the God I love, the God that died for me, the God that I care so much about, is the very one that I turn my back on when I see the first shiny lure. Y'all okay? It's the one that I leave when I see the thing that my flesh desires. I have an adulterous heart inside of me. But glory to God, that heart got crucified on the cross of Calvary. And He took that stony, cold heart of man out of me and put in a godly heart and a heart that loves Him and is toward Him. David, in the Word of God, was a man after God's own heart, and yet he committed the heinous sin of adultery, amen, and wrecked his family down through the years. So before we get up on our high horse and think something won't happen to us or won't happen to our family, we need to realize, I'm going to borrow Brother Jeff's line, we need to realize and recognize, amen, that God is in control. And friend of mine, you and I, when we take ourselves out of God's control and we go to doing our own thing and living our own way, we find our lives in a mess. I am crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Watch this, who loved me. The book of Hosea talks about how the wife of Hosea was an harlot. And she, after they were married, she went off back to her whoredoms, is what the Bible tells us, and how that she went back to that God had delivered her out of. And through it all, old Hosea still loved her. And while I would like to separate myself from that type of imagery, the fact of the matter is it's the truth about me. I'm not Hosea, that's God. I'm Hosea's wife. Y'all okay? I'm the one that goes astray. I'm the one that goes off. I'm the one that goes back to the things that God delivered me out of. I can't explain to you exactly why I do it, other than the fact that I am a man born in sin. My flesh has sin in it. I am inherited into sin. I have sin. But all of that sin was crucified, every bit of it, past, present, and future. All of it was done away with in the cross. The old song says, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. It was there by faith that I got right. And now I'm happy all the day. Man, when you get rid of that sin in your life and you confess it to the Lord, forsake that sin, you begin to understand, because you look at that sin, you look at yourself as Hosea's wife, and you see that even in the midst of your harlotry, in the midst of your turning your back on God, the Bible says that God loved you, me. Take you and interject you there where it says me. Not the word you, yourself, your being, who you are. Put it in there. I've never gotten over that even in the midst of all of my iniquity, ungodliness, sin, that He loved me. He loved me. And you know what? He still loves me. And even when I go off the rails, if you will, He still loves me. He still cares about me. He still forgives me. Now that's hard for men to comprehend. Mankind. Because we put conditions on our love. Most of us would say, well, if I was Hosea, I wouldn't have gone down there and got her. You would if God told you to. What greater demonstration of grace than to have somebody completely wrong you and do all kinds of ungodly things in your sight and knowingly to you, and then you have the capacity and the ability to say, you know what? I still love you, and I'm coming for you, and I'm going to get you where you're at. I'm going to come to... Hosea went to where she was. He went to where she was. Amen. He saw her in the condition she was in. Amen. Do you see the type and the picture of God in the sinner and God in the church? He sees us in the condition that we're in. And He doesn't expect us to rise to His level. He doesn't expect us to come to where He is. He expects us to sit there and wait on Him, and He will come to us. Glory to God. I'm going to have myself a time. I ain't studied Galatians 2:20 in years. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth through me. I get to open up my life and share with people that are in the same thing that I've been through. I tell you how the Lord works. One day this week, I went to the Burger King on 92 to get lunch. Amen. I had it my way. No ketchup on my burgers. And I sat down, I had my back to the door. We have a man, I hope you're watching online. You'll know who you are when I say this. You already know because I done said Burger King. I had my back to the door. I didn't see anybody come in. I could see the drink machine. I didn't see and pay any attention to whoever filled up. And I saw a young man walk up there, and he was filling up two cups and didn't really pay much attention. I thought, man, that young man looks familiar, but I see a lot of people. I meet a lot of people. And I just didn't think much of it, and I turned around and I looked, and here's a man that's been visiting our church and has visited our church for quite some time, going through a very difficult patch in his life. He's struggling. He's struggling spiritually. He's struggling emotionally. He's struggling financially. He's just struggling. And the Lord let me see him for a moment. Did I go off on him about not being at church? No. I just walked up to him and loved him. Because I've been there. I've been the guy that was struggling emotionally. I've been the guy that was struggling spiritually. I've been the guy that was struggling financially. I've been the guy, and the last thing I wanted to hear was some preachy preacher. Y'all okay? Some preachy preacher come up and tell me everything that I needed to do when I didn't have no idea or no clue what was going on in their life and with their life and through their life. All I could do was love them. Sometimes the Lord will let you get yourself where you need to be so that you can go minister to people. See, when you realize that being a Christian is not all about you, it's about reaching somebody else, you'll see how sweet it is to be forgiven. Amen. So that you can just say, praise God, I'm forgiven. That's a benefit of it. But so that you can go and extend grace to other people. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. You know what? Next week, we're going to have, 200, and as of Wednesday night, it's 224, 225 kids are going to be in this place. And man, I'm telling y'all, if y'all hadn't been here, you need to at least pop in and check it out. Amen. It's a pretty incredible thing. I've seen this altar lined up with kids. But there's going to be kids coming in here that ain't been hugged in years. You hear me? There's going to be kids that ain't been shown any kind of love. They don't have a mama and daddy. There's going to be all kinds of kids that are going to come in here and they're going to wonder whether or not they're even worthy to walk through the door. And the last thing they need to do is run into a high and mighty Christian that thinks they're better than everybody else. You better realize this morning that you've been crucified with Christ so that you can love on somebody else. It's all free. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Take that love that the Lord extended to you, and you extend it to others that you run across. Amen? You extend it. Last night we carried Luke out to for his birthday and had a good time, had a good dinner, and we went to one of them hibachi things, and across the table there was a lady who had bright blue hair, and I was pretty sure that her opinions and my opinions did not match up, and she said something, and I wanted to give her a piece of my mind, just to be honest with you, but instead I just decided to smile. It took everything I had. Y'all act like y'all ain't never been there. I realized that maybe this lady needs to be loved where she's at. Maybe she needs to be loved. Maybe she never had nobody love on her. Maybe that's the reason for what she's doing and how she's acting out. And take a little moment to say, hey, somebody once loved me in the condition that I was in. Somebody once loved me in the way that I was. And so now it's not up to me just to accept that love and let it in with me, but let it pour out of me and give it to somebody else. Let me love somebody because I was loved. Now watch this. And gave himself for me. I have never had any person die for me spiritually other than Jesus Christ. I realize that soldiers died for our freedom, and I am grateful for that. Please don't misunderstand that. But a soldier in the United States Armed Services does not give us spiritual freedom. They give us physical freedom, and thank God for it. But they don't give us spiritual freedom. And so while we have physical freedom, sometimes we abuse that physical freedom. And we do things that are ungodly and unholy, and we go and we live however we want to, and we do however we want to, and we take that adulterous heart of ours and we go chase the shiny lures of the devil and we go after those things. But Christ gave himself for me. He fully understood what he was getting. He understood what he was getting. The Lord died for you, sinner friend. Jesus gave his life for you. Not so that you have to change everything, but so that Christ can change everything. I've said this many times. I've never, ever, not one time, cleaned a fish before I caught it. Not one time have I ever dropped a line in the water and that thing bite that line and him be cleaned and filleted and deboned and ready to cook when he came out of the water. And neither of you. It's rare that I find anything that is prepared or takes some preparation time. You go out fishing spiritually, if you will. Understand that Christ gave himself for you. He understood what he was getting. And just as you weren't clean when you come to him, so others who you reach out to will not be either. But that'll be all right, because the Lord knows how to sanctify people. The Lord knows how to purify people. The Lord knows how to cleanse people. And you know what? Things may change overnight, but there's going to be some sanctification that's going to take place over years. You're not going to be born again and immediately know everything about the Bible, but I believe you'll have a hunger for the Word of God. You'll want to know more and more, and you'll get in there and you'll run across your own sin in the Word of God, and you'll say, wait a minute now, I've been doing this all this time, and now the Word of God tells me I got to change this. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Because Christ died for you. He loved me and he gave himself for me. What a wonderful gift. I gotta throw 21 in there. Y'all all right with that? Because there's a lot of Christians that live under the law. They live under the law. And they're more afraid of breaking the law than anything else. And so they allow the law to rule over their life. And when they, not if they break the law, but when they break the law, it devastates them spiritually. And oftentimes they fall out of church. They quit attending the church. They quit, not because, sometimes it's because something happens, but a lot of times it's because of their own shame and their own guilt. Watch what old Paul said here. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Any righteousness that you have does not come by you or your performance. It does not come by your performance. It does not come by your work. It does not come by your ability. It does not come by you living up to the Ten Commandments. It does not come by you living up to the law that you are taught in the Old Testament in the Word of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Then the greatest gift. What does vain mean? Vain means superficial, unreal. And if righteousness comes by us keeping the law, then Christ died for no reason. And his death is not symbolic. It is literal. He literally died because there are literal sinners who need literal, real salvation. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You got All My Hope with you, the song All My Hope. I want to do our invitation a little bit different this morning. Brother Kevin, come and that song, All My Hope, you'll know it, you'll recognize it. But if your hope is in anything other than Christ, your hope is in the wrong place. If righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you have not put your faith and your hope and your trust in Christ, you can do so this morning. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13 goes on to say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world, you, the Hosea's wife, the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You may be a real good representation of the world right now with how you are. Understand that the Lord didn't come to condemn you. He's not sitting in heaven with a lightning rod ready to zap you. He has arms open wide, spread open to you, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. Will you come to know Jesus today? Will you be saved today? If you put your hope anywhere else, it is not where God wants your hope to be. You stand with us, sing for us, Kevin.